Grace and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you looked at the text that I am preaching on for today, I imagine you might have been a little surprised. After all, Ecclesiastes is one of those books that we just don't talk about much, or at all. It only comes up twice over the 3 years of the three-year lectionary. The other one is last August, I think it was. And a lot of preachers tend to avoid talking about it. Coupled to that fact, the subject of our Old Testament reading for today, and honestly, I don't think anyone enjoys talking about it or preaching about it. After all, in this reading, Solomon is talking about money. Solomon, King Solomon, the richest man in history, the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of all history, telling us how to treat money and work and labor and goods and possessions. Why should we listen to anything he has to say? After all, none of us are ever going to be in his position of having all the wealth of the world literally at his fingertips. So what on earth can we learn about money from Solomon? Of course, you know, the surprising thing about Solomon, at least when he was writing Ecclesiastes, is that he doesn't seem particularly happy in most of the book of Ecclesiastes. He doesn't seem particularly happy about all of this wealth, all of these possessions, all of these experiences that he has. He doesn't have the attitude that we've come to expect from the super rich or hyper rich, that money can buy happiness, or that the one who dies with the most toys wins. In fact, if I didn't know any better, I'd say that Solomon's wealth didn't make him happy. Huh. So, with that in mind, what can we learn from our Old Testament reading today from Solomon about God's views on money? Now, to lay some groundwork, we need to go back even before Ecclesiastes, all the way back to the beginning, to remember that everything is a gift from God. Everything is created by God. Everything that we have comes to us from God. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," lays it all out. Luther's explanation, God certainly gives to everyone daily bread. And what is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything. House and home, food and drink, clothing and shoes, wife and children, land, animals, money, goods, devout husband or wife, devout children. Everything we have comes from God. Everything is a good gift from God. We don't do anything to merit it. We don't do anything to deserve it. Those who have much aren't more deserving than those who have little. Everything is a gift from God. It is good. And God gives it to everyone, whether they are good or wicked, whether they are faithful or faithless, everything comes from God. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus lays it out explicitly. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Everything is from God. And it is all good. God created it to be good. He gives to us everything we need, and in fact, even more. In Matthew chapter 6, later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus promises that his heavenly Father will provide all our needs. If he provides for the flowers, if he provides for the birds, he'll provide for you. And because God gives us more than we need, he also uses us to provide for other people who are in need. When you have more than you need, perhaps that's because God wants to use you to feed those who are hungry, or to support a ministry that is struggling financially. After the flood, for example, the community around here came together to help each other out. Those who have much can support and help those who have little. Money and goods and everything we have comes from God to help other people as well. But what we have, the material things, it isn't enough. The desire for things isn't going to satisfy as we look through what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. The desire for things isn't going to satisfy, and it isn't going to be satisfied. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. It isn't enough, and it will not satisfy. That new car isn't going to have the new car smell forever. A new computer or phone is going to be released before you even get this one out of the box. There's always more you can want. There's always more that you can have. And the more you have, the more you want, you're just not going to be satisfied by the material things. And this is something that Solomon knew all too well. He had literally everything he could hope for. Solomon's wealth staggers the imagination. God promised to give him everything he could want, and when God promises, God promises. In 1 Kings chapter 10, it says that Solomon received 666 talents of gold in a single year. One talent is as much wealth as someone would earn in a lifetime, about 20 years of labor. And so that's 600 lifetimes worth of gold in 1 year. In 1 Kings 9, on a single trading expedition, he nets 420 talents of gold. He had so much wealth coming into his capital that he could literally pave the streets with silver and no one would care. All of Solomon's wealth, however, was not enough for him to be satisfied. Ecclesiastes, in fact, is his confession of how vain material wealth, the material world, material things, this life is. He had it all, and it wasn't enough. In verses 10 through 11, he says, "When he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income, this also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes?" Solomon finally realized here at the end of his life, after decades of accumulation, that it did not bring him happiness or satisfaction. Running after the things of this world just didn't satisfy. When we try to find meaning in the things of this world, we are simply put left broken and empty. But that does not take away the usefulness of this world that God has created. In fact, Solomon valued and recognized the value of this life and of the things in this life, of labor, of work, that we can find enjoyment without running after it. We need to remember that there is a reason for these things of this world, that God did, in fact, create them. God created the world to be good, and that includes the things of this world. Yes, they can be misused, they can be abused, they have been broken by sin, but this world was created good, and this world will be restored and redeemed good. Solomon, in verse 12, and then again in verse 18, points to the blessings of honest labor. He says, "Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. Then behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot." We are indeed meant to work and to find enjoyment from our work. That is what we have been created to do, to use the time, the talents, the resources that God has given us to join him in his work of creation, to give glory to him and to serve him with what he has given us. Now, verse 18 is one of those verses that can be read in two very different ways, depending on one's perspective. Let's read it again. "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot." Did you catch the two different ways that this can be read? Now, read without faith, can you think of a more nihilistic and depressing idea than the best you can hope for is to work away your short, miserable life? Wow. That is one step away from eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Without faith, this looks at life and simply says, what's the point? We are just going to work away our life and then we're going to die and that's the end. That's when you read it without faith. But with faith, read in faith, labor is a gift from God. The things of this world are a gift from God, given to us to enjoy during the time that we are on earth. Recognizing that there is more to life than just this life, we can accept whatever our lot is in this life, the joys and the struggles, knowing that there is more than just this life to look forward to. In other words, we find enjoyment in this life without losing sight of the hope of the life to come, the eternal life with Christ. And so, in faith, there is enjoyment in labor. We talked in our first LifeLight session a month or so ago on Genesis about how valuable labor is. It allows us to join God in his act of creation. God is a creator God, and so right after he creates Adam and Eve, he gives them the task of joining him in stewarding and caring for this good new world that he had created. And so God created us to work. The command he gave to Adam and Eve, that came before the fall into sin. Sin made work difficult, yes, but it does not take away that command from God or that inherent blessing that God gives to godly labor. God wants you to have work that brings you enjoyment, work which allows you to help and serve your neighbor and to provide for your family. This is more than just work that will punch a clock so you can feed the family, though providing for yourself and for your family is also important. This is work that allows you to Use the gifts, use the time that God has given you to the best of your ability. God blesses work so that we can find enjoyment in our labor, so we can find enjoyment in this life, but that is only part of the equation. Ultimately, all our joy comes from God. God is the one who gives us meaningful labor. God is the one who gives us what we need for this life. Yes, the products of labor are nice. Yes, the things we can purchase with that salary are nice. But these things are not the be-all, end-all of life. And they're not the be-all, end-all of work. We don't look to the things. Instead, we look to the Creator, the one who gives us those things. That is, we look to God. Our end is eternity. That is what Solomon ultimately comes to when he says, "Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his toil and rejoice, accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. He is not looking to the things of this life. He is looking to eternity." Our end is eternity, the heaven, our heavenly home with God. The things of this life will ultimately come to an end. The food you buy at the store after church today, it's going to spoil in a week or three if you don't eat it first. The furniture you bought last week, that's going to get scratched and marred over time. The computer will slow down. The car will develop engine problems. Everything in this life ultimately, inevitably comes to an end. Only the things that last to eternity are going to remain. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." So, what will last? Faith. The eternal blessings that we receive from the labor of Christ, that is what will last. The reason we have this hope is because Jesus carried out his labor in this life faithfully. Jesus used the time that he was given to carry out his work of healing and teaching. He did not consider the things of this life to be greater than those of the next. Instead, he kept his eyes on the prize, on the eternity together with God, to which we look forward and which he earned for us by his redemptive death on the cross. Because of Jesus' labor on our behalf, we are assured to have the joy of heaven in our hearts. So what is the appropriate approach for us to take to money and labor and things of this world? As Solomon teaches us, we are not to focus on this world. These things will not last. We can take enjoyment in what we have and what we earn. We can and should enjoy meaningful work and the fruits thereof. We can and should use these things to help and serve others as we can. But these things are not what is most important for us or for our life. What is most important is that which will last eternally. What is most important is the treasure which Jesus won for us. And that is a treasure which we will receive at this altar in just a few minutes. His body and his blood, broken and shed to complete his labor, a meal more lasting than any earthly food, a treasure more eternal than any earthly prize. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.